ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
Alex Chilton was just 16 when he, along with the Box Tops, had an international hit with this song. Within 3 years, after a couple more hits, the group broke up and Chilton formed a new band with his friend Chris Bell. They called the band Big Star. Their first album was titled Number One Record. For Chilton, the name and the title were tongue-in-cheek. He had a been-there-done-that attitude to pop stardom, according to Drew DeNicola and Olivia Mori, the filmmakers whose latest documentary tells the story of the ill-starred Big Star. From the outset, the band was riven by disagreements and a fundamental difference between Chilton and Bell. According to the filmmakers, Bell was serious about being a big star with a number one record. And when it didn't happen, both he and the band began to fall apart. You may well be wondering at this point why anyone would expend the resources, both time and money, to make a film about a failed band from 40 years ago. I was. But Drew DeNicola, who along with Olivia Mori made the documentary Nothing Can Hurt Me, sees the band as the forefathers of the college rock bands from the 1980s and 1990s, bands that they both grew up listening to.
Big Star kind of were sort of forefathers of that, of this sort of more rarefied music that appealed to critics and musicians and maybe was a little too subtle in some ways to sort of cross over into mainstream success. But, you know, people have much more diverse taste now. And I kind of see that as starting out in the mid to late 70s. You know, I think if Big Star had held on a little bit longer, maybe they could have cashed in on some of that. I mean, I think Alex Chilton definitely did. You know, the band was gone, but he was kind of hanging around New York City in the late 70s, and you know, people would show up at all his shows, and they were longtime fans, or you know, had been fans in the early 70s. So.
Both Drew DeNicola and Olivia Mori are first and foremost fans of the music, and so they do have a slightly romanticized view of music making. For them, the band's lack of commercial success was a badge of honor. Viewed as a commercial disaster in the early 1970s, it must be said the band's first album was actually a success in terms of the indie rock both Drew and Olivia believe they presaged a decade later. Selling 15,000 copies of an album in indie rock terms is a success. But for Big Star, measuring themselves against the bands of the late 60s and early 70s, making number one records and selling millions of copies, it was a disaster.
Well, that disconnect, I think, is the foundation of the story. I mean, they had this very audacious name, Big Star, and their first album, number one record, and it was really a concept band created by Chris Bell. And I always imagine him in his bedroom just daydreaming about the ultimate rock band that he wants to create one day, and that was Big Star for him. But the reality of the music business was not factored into that. And I believe that their strength was that they didn't make it, and not making it in the music industry, they sort of found themselves artistically, and it was probably very difficult and very disheartening for them. But I think that they came up with a really unique sound and continued to hone that. I mean, I love the first record, but I'm really interested in how the music changed once things weren't working out for them. And I think that really going into Radio City, which you know, for a while I thought that was a very commercial record, and when I listened to it again later, it's a very dark, almost nihilistic record with just this last glimmer of hope, and then third, it's just absolute, you know, desolation. But even Chris Bell had to find himself, and his songs became really amazing when he was a solo artist. So I kind of see them as really developing as outsider artists, reluctantly, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a profound observation, because I think it would apply to countless bands, right?
But that status became a badge of honor later.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone wanted to have that. And that's why people gravitated to Alex Chilton in the late 70s and early 80s. And Paul Westerberg wrote about Alex Chilton. You know, I mean, he became this icon of that attitude. But it wasn't something that any of those guys were trying to attain.
Yes, you know, I kept thinking, if Big Star had made that record a few years earlier, it may well have turned up on Nuggets.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely. And I do see them as a garage band with a nice sheen and a production, you know, on top.
This is a song from an album of songs written and recorded by Chris Bell after he left Big Star following the failure of their first album. The solo album by Bell was called I Am the Cosmos. It included this song, with help from Alex Chilton, called You and Your Sister.
The facts we hate will never meet. Walking down the road, everybody yelling, hurry up, hurry up. But I'm waiting for you. I must go slow.
By the early 90s, they were, in fact, big stars. And they, although they may not have had a number one record in the Billboard chart sense, they had a number one record in the sense that they had an enormous influence, as big an influence probably as many bands who did have number one records, and in eclipsed innumerable bands that had number one records, which sort of brings into question the whole thing.
It sort of turns the whole idea of rock stardom on its ear.
Exactly.
When they have that kind of success.
And how do you value and how do you measure success in this business, and how do you measure the quality of the music?
They sort of exchanged fame in their day for a lasting legacy, and you know, the price that you, I don't even know how you quantify what that is, you know, I mean, it's something that you can't buy.
Right.
And you can't even engineer if you tried.
They didn't know that was going to happen, and they certainly didn't expect it. And you know, someone like Alex didn't even really, you know, couldn't even deal with.
Success, of course, is never guaranteed, and the documentary may well have echoed the fate of the band, but it didn't. In fact, according to Danielle McCarthy, the head of publicity for Magnolia Pictures, the movie's a hit and has sparked a revival of interest in the band, both here in the US and abroad.
It's opened in way more cities than we ever anticipated. The response has been very, very positive with the reviews. The fan response has been incredibly positive. And they're kind of, as these fans specifically, can be very hard to please. And I actually ran into Tom Sharpling yesterday from WFMU, and he was congratulating me and the film on the success. And he's like, yeah, and he even those kind of crabby, you know, grumpy record nerds who hate everything, don't have anything bad to say and love the movie. So he's like, congratulations.
The documentary Big Star, You Can't Hurt Me, is showing in Barking Legs Theatre on Dodds Avenue on Saturday night, starting at 8:30. All the details are on the website, mesfilmclub.com. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Richard Wynnum.